part three of what exactly is 5G? I've recently shared this information elsewhere, and I have to tell you, there was outrage, there was gratitude, there was passion. In fact, I've never received so much positive feedback or so many comments about a topic. We're talking about involuntary, long-standing environmental millimeter wave radiation exposure to men, women, and children of all ages in places you might not expect. Coming up.
EMF Remedy is dedicated to helping you understand which electromagnetic threats are present in your home, and whether in the context of your current home, one you're considering for purchase, or building a new home with comprehensive protection designed in, EMF Remedy can help you reduce your family's exposure to harmful, man-made electromagnetic radiation.
Hi, this is Keith Cutter with EMFRemedy.com, host of the EMF Remedy podcast, where we help you deal with electromagnetic poisoning in this upside-down reality where personal radiation exposure has become the norm. Today, we're continuing the task of dissembling 5G with part three of my series, What Exactly is 5G? There is a great deal of confusion about 5G and its precise meaning. There's also a great deal of fear surrounding the topic in general. As I've mentioned before, metaphorically, 5G has become a kind of a specter or an apparition in our culture. But what precisely is it? Let's come out of the darkness where specters live and examine this phenomenon in the light of day. It is not that the various things that are associated with 5G aren't harmful. I'm not saying that at all. It's just that I'm not a fan of fear. So, what if we replace the fear of 5G with knowledge and a plan for reducing personal exposure? Part 1 and 2 dealt with the malignant spread of Wi-Fi and 5G cell service, respectively. Today, we're looking at involuntary, long-standing environmental millimeter wave radiation exposure of men, women, and children of all ages in places you wouldn't expect, and none of us really knew because we didn't have the tool to uncover the problem. Let's get started. All right, so I thought we were safe. Safe from millimeter wave RF exposure here in what I love to call the majestic inland Northwest. I thought we were safe due to the rugged terrain and the low population density, making it unlikely they would implement millimeter wave cell service here. Last spring, as a beta tester for a new millimeter wave RF meter, I learned that we are safe, at least for now, from millimeter wave 5G, but not safe from millimeter wave RF radiation from other sources. In fact, there's an abundance in certain specific areas having to do with travel and procurement of food. Until the introduction of this new meter, we couldn't see these exposures without a device having the necessary sensitivity and accuracy. This new technology has allowed us to detect and measure millimeter wave radiation for the first time ever in my line of work. I quickly found out that areas considered safe from millimeter wave 5G cell service already have concerning levels of millimeter wave radiation. What the heck? Furthermore, areas that are already exposed to millimeter wave 5G cell service are experiencing additional unexpected millimeter wave RF exposure. I and many of my colleagues initially thought that millimeter wave RF radiation was exclusive to 5G cell service and certain military weapons, but this is not the case. Today I'll discuss two types of exposures that unfortunately will affect almost everyone. I should say, have been affecting almost everyone. So consider this. Who doesn't visit grocery stores? Who doesn't spend time on or near roads? We'll also explore ways to minimize personal exposure of each of these. So let's start with supermarkets. The issue revolves around the door sensors that control the automatic sliding doors at the entrances and exits. In the inland Northwest and perhaps across the U.S. and beyond, my observations indicate that all local, regional, and national grocery stores expose customers to high levels of millimeter wave RF radiation through sensors placed at the doors. To access the products inside the store, you need to enter. And if you use these automatic doors, at least in my area, you're going to be exposed to millimeter wave RF radiation. In my area, there is one local grocery chain, two regional chains, and one national chain. I measured millimeter wave radiation levels at four different stores, one from each regional, one from the national, one from the local, by entering and exiting each store three times, and then averaging the results. I found that the average exposures when entering or exiting the stores ranged from just over 11,000 to just under 23,000 microwatts per square meter. I mean, indeed, these are significantly high levels of RF radiation. It's concerning to think that the high levels of RF radiation might be linked to the sensations of disorientation I've experienced for years when entering supermarkets, which I initially thought were caused either by the lighting or other environmental factors within the stores. I suspect that millimeter wave exposure could be a contributing factor. And I'll just note that I'm hearing from a lot of people I presented this information to that they've experienced the same. After entering and exiting a supermarket multiple times in a row, I felt noticeably sick just during my first visit, and the discomfort only increased after visiting all four stores. During a presentation I gave last summer to a large audience, someone mentioned in the chat that their child couldn't enter a supermarket without experiencing seizures. Others shared that they also felt ill upon entering, even internationally, by the way. So this suggests that millimeter wave radiation exposure in everyday environments could be having significant effects on more people than we realize. Having been in the high-tech industry for a long time, I'm well aware that millimeter wave RF isn't necessary for controlling door openers. There are many alternatives. Throughout my life, I've encountered door opening solutions that, like pressure mats, photoelectric eyes, anybody remember doormen? You know, none of which involve RF exposure, much less millimeter wave RF. I also wonder why every store in my area relies on millimeter wave technology for this purpose. Is the convenience worth the potential health risks? Do we risk missing an epidemiological signal that millimeter wave radiation is harmful by exposing everyone to it? So here's what you can do to minimize personal exposure to millimeter wave RF radiation when entering or exiting grocery stores. My favorite solution would be to shop at a store that doesn't require millimeter wave exposure to those who are entering or exiting, if you can find one. Second would be find and use a manually operated door somewhere on the store. And third would be consider either home delivery of your groceries, you won't even have to step foot inside, or curb delivery where you can wait safely, relatively safely, outside in your vehicle. If you must enter a millimeter wave controlled portal, these are my recommendations for ways that you can reduce personal exposure. So first, don't spend unnecessary time before, between, or after the doors. Number two, move away from the doors safely and quickly until well inside the store. I'm talking 20 or 30 feet. And avoid using checkout stands that are nearest the doors. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be a way to completely shield an infant, a pregnant mother, or anyone else looking to eliminate millimeter wave radiation exposure, aside from avoiding areas where this type of radiation is prevalent, which just makes this seem like a diabolical plan to me. Anyway, that covers the situation with grocery shopping. Another area where I believe virtually everyone is exposed is in and around roadways. The issue here stems from new conveniences in automobiles that use millimeter wave radar technology. Now, depending on the model, these systems can emit radiation from the front of the vehicle, the rear of the vehicle, and or the sides of the vehicle. We were led to believe that millimeter wave radiation couldn't pass through glass. However, my testing showed that I could easily detect this radiation projected from other vehicles while I was inside my own. This illustrates once again how poor decisions made by others regarding the use of technologies involving harmful man-made electromagnetic radiation can unfortunately affect those who know better, who are more cautious in managing their personal exposure. I'm not certain how long we've been exposed to millimeter wave radiation from vehicles, but the increasing discomfort experienced by my most sensitive clients and their growing difficulties with travel clearly indicate a problem, in my opinion. As with many other EMF emitting technologies, those involving vehicular radar also present a trade-off. They offer perceived benefits in exchange for increased personal exposure to harmful man-made electromagnetic radiation. Here's the bait for this particular trap. You will see things like adaptive cruise control, which adjusts the vehicle speed to maintain following distance using radar to detect the speed and distance of the vehicle ahead instead of your right foot, instead of you being attentive while you're driving. You can be offered automatic emergency braking, which uses radar to automatically apply the brakes, as opposed to being attentive to your driving. Blind spot detection monitors so-called blind spots. I was always brought up to believe we were supposed to double-check our blind spots. Lane change assistance assists inattentive drivers with lane changing. Rear cross traffic, which alerts drivers to vehicles approaching from the sides when backing out of a parking space. Did you know that in the state of Idaho, when you're backing out of a parking space, you have no rights whatsoever? If somebody smacks into you, it is your fault. I know that differs in other states and probably other countries as well. And then parking assistance, so it can facilitate automated parking. If you don't have the skills and aren't willing to develop the skills by blasting everybody with millimeter wave radiation, including yourself forever, as long as you own the car, you can have help parking. I guess maybe you know my opinion by now, is that these conveniences aren't worth the blank check we're writing on people's health. For the owner of the vehicle, for passengers surrounding and other vehicles, and pedestrians. So as the use of vehicular radar technology becomes more widespread, our byways, roads, and highways are increasingly contaminated with millimeter wave radiation. An untreated window glass offers absolutely no protection. What is it going to look like in 10 more years? However, there are additional concerns to consider as we delve deeper into the implications of this technology. So let's take a closer look. My dear wife and I often visit our favorite restaurant, but unfortunately, I tend to feel unwell when we go. I think it's because of the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth-based music system and the cell phones of other customers. It's pretty obvious to me. But despite this, we continue to go because, well, living in a shielded home and having a safe place to sleep has enabled me to build resilience over time so that I'm becoming less sensitive with each day rather than more sensitive, so I can afford it. I can afford to do that. But we really continue to do it because we love the owner of the restaurant, we love their family, and we enjoy the nourishing food. Looking back, I realized why we stopped dining on the sidewalk at our favorite restaurant and chose to move indoors a couple of years ago, even before I had the meter. I suspect that the additional millimeter wave radiation from passing automobiles was exacerbating my discomfort, causing me to feel worse more quickly. Hey, just as an aside, you know what I find when I'm doing my assessments in people's homes? Not always, but I often find people who are suffering from electromagnetic poisoning without meters or any kind of knowledge, sort of inadvertently move towards spending time in the lowest radiation area of their home. It's really quite fascinating how I see that time and again. Anyway, while being aware of these dangers allows us to avoid them, it's regrettable that we've had to forego the enjoyment of sidewalk dining outside. Crazy, right? Why should we have to give up something like sidewalk dining? Now, residences located near roadways may also be affected by millimeter wave RF radiation, as it can easily pass through untreated glass. So imagine that. Your home is your castle. You're sitting in your home. Now, with the advent of this new technology, you're getting blasted with involuntary millimeter wave RF radiation 7 days a week, any time of the day or night. This exposure could extend to yards, balconies, and gardens that are close to these roads, potentially impacting the areas where people spend significant outdoor time at home. Car travel is increasingly problematic for those seeking to avoid millimeter wave RF radiation. This concern extends to pedestrians and bicyclists as well, who are also at risk of exposure while walking or biking near roadways where vehicles equipped with millimeter wave technology frequently pass. So, not just dwelling on the problem, what can we do? What are the survival tactics? So, number one, carefully consider whether you want a vehicle with millimeter wave RF-based radar. And people ask me, well, does it impact others or the driver of the vehicle as well? And I would say the way radar works is the radiation is projected away, it bounces off something, and it comes back. And if it doesn't, then the radar's not working, right? So if you have a car next to you and your vehicle is projecting radiation out of the side of the vehicle towards theirs, you better believe you're going to be getting a significant amount of that radiation right back at you. Avoid traveling in vehicles with radar. Avoid sidewalk dining. And avoid living arrangements near roadways. As an extreme measure, speak with your trusted local EMF resource if you have one local that's qualified. We've talked about that endlessly in other places. Not everything that glitters is gold. But if you have a capable local resource, talk to them about the possibility of shielding your vehicle as well as the pros and the cons of doing so. There's one more thing. I'll probably do that in the future, but maybe I'll mention it in a minute here. So, in conclusion, this discussion on environmental exposures to millimeter wave radiation unrelated to 5G cell service forms a crucial part of our What Exactly is 5G series. We included it to address the common misconception that conflates millimeter wave technology solely with 5G. The reality is that millimeter wave radiation is also used in other applications, like vehicular radar and automated door systems, which pose their own exposure risks. It's important to recognize and understand these diverse sources to better appreciate the broader implications of millimeter wave technology in our daily lives. The pervasive spread of millimeter wave radiation through modern technology, such as vehicular radar and automated door sensors in supermarkets, presents a significant and growing exposure risk to those wishing to carefully manage personal exposure. Despite the conveniences and perceived safety features these technologies promote, the potential health impacts are paramount, especially for vulnerable populations like infants and pregnant mothers. As it stands, avoidance remains the most effective measure to reduce exposure. One day I'll talk about another phenomenon involving millimeter wave exposures, which is static emplacements along certain routes of travel. I'm talking about exposures even when the roads are empty and the vehicle you're driving doesn't have radar. and you're the only vehicle in sight. Not vehicular radar related. But today, I'll just mention that using my millimeter wave meter, I've mapped out my personal routes of travel to minimize involuntary millimeter wave radiation exposure. And I know I'm going to be asked, some of you will want their own millimeter wave meter. They're expensive. They start at $850 with the omnidirectional antenna, probably the only antenna you'll need. And the only millimeter wave meter I am aware of with the requisite frequency range, accuracy, and safe sensitivity is the Safe and Sound Pro millimeter wave RF meter from Safe Living Technologies. I am a proud affiliate of Safe Living. You're welcome to use my affiliate code, which is REMEDY5, REMEDY5, on checkout for a discount. I will, if I remember, put a link in the description. And that's the end of part three. And we've checked off the third of 3 points of confusion we outlined at the start of this so far three-part series. Number one was not everything that projects RF radiation and is called 5G has to do with 5G cell service. That was the malignant spread of Wi-Fi. Number two, not all forms of 5G project millimeter wave RF. That was part two, 5G cell service. And number three, not everything that projects millimeter wave RF radiation is 5G. We crossed that off the list today with part three. And you might think we're done with the series. I kind of do, and I kind of don't want to do the next episode. I've been giving this a lot of thought. I don't want to cause division. I certainly don't want to introduce fear, but I have a bit more to say. God willing, you can expect a fourth and final, what exactly is 5G in the near future? In the meantime, has this been helpful? I hope it has. That's a lot of the comments that I've been getting so far in this three-part series, is getting rid of that, you know, specter, sort of scary ghost, what goblin is 5G. Not that it isn't bad, just that by understanding what all the pieces are, we can wrap our minds about it. We can replace that fear with knowledge and a plan. So I hope that this has been helpful to you. As you know, I have been dealing with electromagnetic poisoning for almost four decades. If you live in the majestic inland northwest, I can help you with an on-site EMF assessment and custom evaluation plan. There is no way to move further faster in your journey than to have a qualified individual do an on-site evaluation and assessment. If you live elsewhere and you don't have a qualified local consultant, I can help you with a remote assessment if you like. But the reason I feel compelled to share what I've learned is because I've been suffering with this for almost four decades, and I would actually love to get everything I know about EMF assessment and remediation transferred into as many people as I possibly can. So that is why I spend hundreds of hours per year in producing free content. Please, if you have a heart to help us in continuing to produce and distribute this type of content, consider becoming a financial supporter of the show. The link is in the description, or emfremedy.com/donate. Writing a review, especially on Apple Podcasts, is a help. Most important, please pray that our efforts here would be a blessing to many. Keith Cutter, emfremedy.com. See you next time.
The EMF Remedy Podcast is a project of EMF Remedy, LLC. We'd like to be your trusted guide for achieving a better EMF environment in your home. The contents on this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and are not intended to substitute for the advice provided by your doctor or other healthcare professional. It is not intended to be, nor does it constitute, healthcare or medical advice. Opinions of guests on this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the EMF Remedy Podcast.